I feel bad for my wife. She is stuck in a never-ending war between I married the man of my dreams, and I can't believe I signed up for this crap. Here's another one for you. If you're married and or you got kids, it just lands a little different. After parenting, I think I will become a hostage negotiator. Seems less stressful. You're not married. You don't have kids. Does that land with you at all, though?
I mean, it's funny. It's definitely funny.
There's a lot of truth in there.
Can't say I relate to it.
Is it a bad sign that my wife sent me the first one? Is that a good or a bad sign?
That's a good sign.
I think it's a good sign because we can be open and honest with each other. All right. And I laughed when she sent it to me, and I opened it up in the text. And then she's like, I got another one for you if you like that. And that was the one about the kids. So here's another one I saw. Nothing to do with being married and or kids specifically, just life in general. Common sense is not a gift. It's a punishment because you have to deal with everyone who doesn't have it. Who was it that said common sense ain't so common? I forget who that was. I heard that somewhere, but I thought it was interesting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to a loaded edition yet again, the Loaded Show, loaded edition of the Adam Carriker Show. We got so much to talk about. Like, you hit that time of year. There's still some stuff going on Husker sports wise, you know, track and field. And actually, we have a swimmer who set a record. So there's still some things going on, but the amount of things going on is significantly less. So it's like, oh, what do you talk about? What do you talk about? No. Like, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 tabs open on my laptop. I've got over 20 screenshots and then a whole bunch of notes. Like, Jackson, I am never short for things to talk about. It's amazing.
The interest. Oh
my gosh. Great thing. It is a great thing. The amount of things that I find interesting, hopefully the fine folks out there find some of it interesting as well. I think you will. Nebraska ranked already? All right. Should we be concerned about recruiting at all? There's an article and it makes some fair points. Okay. We're way early in this recruiting cycle, by the way. But it makes some fair points. The title is Big Ten Football Recruiting Rankings for the Class of 2026. And then it just says Nebraska faces uphill climb. There's 18 schools that it goes through, and we're the only one in the headline. And so I went through and I read it, and it makes some fair points. June is a huge month of recruiting. July, I mean, we got a ton of time. We got a ton of guys coming in. We got the 7-on-7 going on tomorrow. If you just freeze frame right now, it's a fair point. Uphill climb.
Yeah.
But good thing time doesn't stop now. And Matt Rhule's long-term vision for recruiting for Nebraska in general, including this year, does not get freeze frame and or stopped right now. But if you take a freeze frame right now, the article's fair. Okay, some of the things they point out. Good thing we've got big-time plans Matt Rhule does for his recruiting strategy going forward. But we're going to talk about that a little bit because I've called it what I called a swing-for-the-fences approach. I got no problem with that. I several times in my life, I've had to make a decision. Do I take the conservative route, ergo the safe route, or do I swing for the fences knowing it's going to either hit big or it's going to fall flat? I can honestly say every single time I've always been I'd rather fail of my own accord than cheat. I'll share the story one day about how I seriously thought about steroids at one point. And I had the number. I was going to make the call. I did not. I threw the paper away with the number on it. And I said, I'd rather succeed or fail of my own accord. There's been multiple times in my life where I've said, I'm going to swing for the fences. And if it succeeds, oh, awesome. If it doesn't, that sucks, but I can live with that. And there's nothing wrong with taking the safe route, to be clear. It depends on what the situation is. That's me. And this is a swing for the fences approach that Matt Rhule's taking. And he's got to do what he believes is best. He's talked about can't serve two masters, can't do what people telling me I need to do, yet not do what I think is best because sometimes they're not one and the same. And at the end of the day, if you don't win football games, he talked about they've asked some previous coaches to leave. And his true goal is to win football games, you know, at the end of the day. All right. And we have a major award winner. All right. Incoming Nebraska baseball player wins major award as well. We got some clips. I bombarded poor Jake. He's flying back from Chicago, and I see all these clips last night, and I send him like three at like 10, thinking he's back in Lincoln, going to be here today. By the way, glad you're back again.
Yes, of course.
All right. And so he gets like all these clips because this is when I come across them at like 10 at night. He texted me this morning, can't wait to be back in studio tomorrow. And I'm like, tomorrow? Did you mean to send this last night and it just went through today? Like, he goes, no, I'm flying back from Chicago. So I called you. Yeah. I'm like, who am I doing the show with? So anyways, we got some clips. Two Trey Taylor clips. You're going to love this kid. All right. A clip of Josh Pate. I referenced him the other day. Like, he is of the same mindset and accord of Joel Klatt when it comes to college football playoff. Don't worry, we're not going to do a whole hour plus on the playoff again today, but this is something that has enamored me since I was a kid. And he has a take, and he agrees with Joel, and Joel agrees with me because obviously Joel listens to me every day. He takes notes, and then he does his show based off what I say, and then Josh listens to Joel. That's just how this chain of thing works, you know? But we're going to play that a little bit later. And Josh actually has this crazy idea. I shouldn't call it crazy. It is the only place I've heard it has come from Josh Pate's show. I'll put it that way. Of committees within conferences. Committees within conferences. And at first, I'm like, no. I want no more committees. No. I realize we can't get rid of them, but minimize them as much as humanly possible. And then he made a case on how we preserve the non-conference schedule and keep it important. Because right now, if you go by just wins and losses within your conference, and you got these play-in games, if this is what happens, and we have no idea what's really going to happen or actually going to happen, okay, past 2026, we know the 2026 college football playoff format. Beyond that, we know nothing, absolutely nothing, for sure. And I was like, well, what if we never come to a consensus? What happens? Do we just go to 12 teams? Do we just stay at 12 teams? No, what would happen is SEC, Big Ten, and say, we tried, sayonara, see you later. We're going to take our ball, go over here, and just try to take over the world of college sports, starting with college football. But his idea, I'm getting ahead of myself with this, but a little precursor here. His idea was to preserve the non-conference games instead of going straight by wins and losses within your conference. And this is also based on the fact that conferences, strength of schedules within conferences with these gargantuan sizes of these conferences now, they're so drastically different. Like, one school can legit play like 5 ranked teams or more within their conference schedule. Another school might play 2. By the way, I just referenced Texas and Florida's SEC schedules from last year. And so then it skews, you aren't exactly what your record says you are because you played a much tougher schedule or a much weaker one. And so his idea was to have a committee for each conference, which would then evaluate and rank just their conference. Like, for the SEC, the 1 through 6 teams, okay, the 2 teams at the top, the 3 through 6, as opposed to just going straight by win-loss record. And at first, I wanted to throw up because I agreed with everything Josh was saying. And then he said that. And then it's been on the back of my mind, and I'm pondering. I need to let that one settle just a little bit. I need to let it settle and fester. But he has this idea that when I heard the word committee, I immediately shut down. Much like when I talk to my children, they're in trouble. They just shut down. Their eyes glaze over. I think I did that, and then I let it settle and fester just a smidge. I need more time with that, but I'm just throwing it out there. Because if you take the top 6 teams from the Big Ten, okay, the top 2 play for the conference title in my 14-team automatic qualifier playoff that I have preferred, which we probably won't get, most likely, because I'm not college football commissioner. That's the way it should be. But, and then you take 3 through 6, you got the playing games like we've talked about a million times. He says there should be a committee that determines 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The 2 teams in the conference championship game, 3 through 6, because he says that would put emphasis on your non-conference games. They would evaluate everything, and they would evaluate strength of schedule. And if you got a weak conference schedule compared to other teams within your conference, you'd have to play a tougher non-con. And then maybe Notre Dame, USC would matter and wouldn't go away. And Nebraska would want to play Tennessee, and Tennessee would want to play whoever. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I need to let it fester and melt a little bit more. I heard the C word committee and I shut down like my 6-year-old when they get in trouble, but I got to let it fester. What's your initial reaction to that? Again, we got so much to get into today. This has been quite the lead-in to begin with, but what's your initial reaction to committees within conferences? At least you take conference bias out of it. You get rid of that.
Yeah.
Because you're all in the same conference.
I can't say I enjoy bringing in yet another committee, though.
I know.
It's just like, it's just making college football corporate. Mm. And I don't like that. I don't like the idea of college football being this corporate place that they can decide who, realistically, there's going to be a world where they decide who's in the playoff based off of who they think should be in the playoff and who's going to make the most money. Like, we're still going to see teams get gypped out of getting into the playoffs. It's going to happen all the time.
So the only reason I'm letting it fester and I haven't just completely shut it down is this just within your conference. So you don't have conference bias.
I guess. Yeah, that's true.
So it's just within your conference. But then do you get brand bias? Like, does Ohio State get the benefit of the doubt over Nebraska if everything else is created equal? I don't know. I got to let it fester. Anyways, you got any other thoughts on that?
That was kind of my thought with it is like, what if they kind of give the upper hand to a bigger school like Ohio State when like a school like Illinois, mm-hmm, would probably mm-hmm. be an upcoming playoff team, I think would be deserving. Yep. But in that type of committee or format of a college football playoff, I could totally see them not making the playoff. But I mean, they have such a good schedule this year to make it. So we'll see.
So is that a way of saying easy schedule, which would therefore give them advantage over someone with a tougher schedule?
Potentially.
In the same conference?
Potentially.
See, that's why I glazed over, but I didn't completely shut down the committee within the conference. I hear the C word now. I want to just scream. But I got to keep an open mind to this because he originally brought that up, Josh did, when it comes to how do we preserve the emphasis on non-conference games? So if we didn't do the committee within the conferences, how would you then preserve the importance of the non-conference games then?
Yeah.
You got any ideas for that?
I don't.
To me, it comes down to how we seed the playoff then. When we see, once you're in by automatically qualifying, to me, then the seeding has to be largely based on your strength of schedule, which would then emphasize the non-conference more. That make sense?
Yes. Yes.
See, you have to let it fester as well. Let it fester. Yeah, I gotta let it sink in.
I gotta let it sink in.
I think I can speak for Jackson when I say this. We both initially, I don't want to say hate. Really, really, really dislike this idea.
There we go.
But we don't completely want to throw it out. We want to let it fester. If people have thoughts, go ahead and text in on the text line. All right. But in the meantime, and we'll get to the clip where Josh actually, that's not even what his clip is about. His clip is about the playoff format that he thinks we should have, which, by the way, is the same as Joel. It's same as me, to be honest with you. All three of us have the same exact thing. And I thought Josh made a great point. This isn't about what playoff format is best in some people's minds. It's about how it's been presented. The automatic qualifier part, I think, is what people don't like. They don't like the automatic qualifier part. And if you just phrased it differently, we're going to earn it on the field. You're going to win it on the field, earn your way into the playoff on the field. I think it's the automatic qualifier, like you're handed something.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I think it turns people off, which I get, especially with what just happened last year, Arizona State, Boise State getting the bye. I understand that. The other thing he points out is it's for the conference. No school is guaranteed anything. So the Big Ten might get four teams automatically in the 4-4-2-2-1-1 model, but Ohio State's not guaranteed anything. Michigan's not guaranteed anything. Nebraska's not guaranteed anything. It's the conference. So no specific school is guaranteed anything. In fact, I would argue you have to win more games and do more things on the field, which actually might make it harder for some of these schools who otherwise might get the benefit of the doubt because of their name brand recognition, also known as just their brand. We'll get to that. We'll get to Josh's clip later. I want to start off the top. Do you have those Trey Taylor clips ready?
Yes, I got both of them up here. Both of them.
Let's start with the one he's talking. So I had a conversation with Trey. Mm-hmm. He's talking about his relationship with Dylan, but mostly what he's learning from Dylan Raiola in clip one. And then we'll get to clip two here in a bit. But he's talking about just how bright the future is at Nebraska. And he thinks people don't even realize it, in his opinion. So go ahead and roll that first clip.
That's the one with him by himself, yeah?
So technically, I'm talking with him on both, but the one we just completely cut me out because I'm not important. He is. Yeah, the first one, I believe, is just him.
There we go. All right.
Shoot, my job is to take over where Dylan leaves and really just, you know, learn from him. That's what I'm doing right now, learning from him, seeing how he takes control of the offense or the team and be's a leader and, you know, take over where he ends. And to be honest, you know, try my best to surpass him. I mean, your goal is always to try and be better than the person in front of you. And that's just the way life is, to be honest. So for Dylan to be able to teach me and helping me right now is huge. And, you know, really, I think he's going to do huge things while he's here. I think that, honestly, Nebraska football is in great hands. And I feel like there's a lot more positive coming than people really imagine or can see.
So when you initially hear that clip, I think you just heard it for the first time this morning, okay?
Yeah.
What's your reaction? What are your thoughts?
It's great to hear that, like, Dylan's already kind of mentoring Trey Taylor in a way, and Trey Taylor isn't even on campus yet. That just kind of, one, that shows me the type of leader that Raiola is already as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So that's just really cool to see. And it also just really shows me that Trey Taylor is really committed to Nebraska and kind of shows, like, I'm here to step into a big shoes to fill with Dylan, and obviously Dylan's, you know, mentoring Trey Taylor. I just think it's a great thing to hear from the source, Mr. Trey Taylor. So, yeah.
No, I completely agree with you. Talking about his commitment to Nebraska, I asked him later on, I said, what do you tell other coaches who are still recruiting you? Because, of course, they're still going to try to recruit him. And he said, hey, you want to keep chatting? You want to keep talking? No problem. Okay. And he talked, you know, later on down the road, you know, if he wants to get into coaching one day, if he wants to do something else, whenever his playing days are done, it's about who you know. So that's a fair point, building relationships, just kind of keeping that in mind. But he's like, I'm not taking any other visits. I'm not doing anything like that. You know, basically, there's a line drawn, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go beyond this line because I am committed over here being Nebraska. My reaction to that clip, as soon as he said it, I, like, wrote down a note, must clip this. And I kind of wrote down, it was around the, whatever it was, 5-minute mark or whatever, we went back and clipped it. I love several things. To your point, the mentoring of Dylan with Trey. Now, Trey won't be here for 2 more years. That would be after Dylan's junior year. Okay. So there's a lot of time for mentorship and leadership and relationships to develop. I also love the competition aspect of it because he talks about, and why would he see it any other way? He talks about, when I come here, it is my job to take over for Dylan. There's other quarterbacks in that quarterback room, okay? Marcos DeVilla, just Jalen, but Jalen's going to be gone after this year. You got TJ Latif, who's physically talented. You've got Dayton coming in. I mean, you've got other quarterbacks that are going to be here. And when Trey said that, there's nothing disrespectful about it. It's a competition mindset. And why would you take any other approach to it? And I love that. That's one of the reasons it stuck out to me. I remember someone told me a story of when Lawrence Phillips was taking his visit. You got to keep in mind, this is in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
This is when you've got, I mean, to say the running back room at Nebraska was loaded would be an absurd understatement. This is maybe the most loaded running back room in the country. He's sitting down, he's chatting with one of the coaches, and the coaches show him the depth chart for the running back room. And they go, when you come in next year, where do you see yourself? He put his name right at the top. Right at the top. And I think I heard that when I was on campus. I heard it one time and it stuck with me for years because my initial thought was, whoa, that takes a lot of confidence. My other thought was, why would he see it any other way? Like, I see myself as a guy who's competing for a starting spot. So I love that. Competition. You want competition within the offensive line, within the defensive line, within, I mean, I'll be honest, when we scrimmaged offense versus defense, there was competition between the offensive and defensive coaches. There was no animosity. There was competition. And so you want that everywhere you go. So I love that. I love the mentorship of Dylan. I love the competitive mindset and the approach that he's taken. Okay, anything else you got from that clip real quick? And then we can go ahead and roll the other one as well.
Yeah, no, it's just fantastic to hear that coming from Trey Taylor. Really nothing much other than that. That's a great thing to hear.
Okay, and if there's anything from the text line real quick?
We got... Would a point system work based on records like what the NSAA uses so tougher non-cons would help?
within the conference, like to determine?
Yeah, I think that's.
So, okay, we'll play. I want to address that actually. We'll play the second Trey Taylor clip after this break that we're going to take in about 5 minutes. I have no problem with that. You look at, and I've seen this thing online. I actually got it screenshotted, but like Premier League soccer. All right, they have like their Premier League, and you can get relegated, you can get promoted. If you're in the bottom three, you go down. If you're in the top three, you go up. And I've seen there's been like 16 to 20 teams that they have in this top Premier League. Nebraska's not in it, by the way, in these graphics that I've seen. But it's like Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and like almost like this should be a conference. This is not getting serious traction, you know, as far as what may actually happen in the near future at any point. But it's just kind of fun things I've seen online multiple times now. Okay. And so when you talk about things like that, a lot of that's based off of a point system if you know much about soccer. I'm not a soccer expert, but I know enough to know that you can, if you're in the top two, I think, or three, you get moved up to the next league. If you're in the bottom three, you get relegated down or whatever it's called. I know enough to know that, and that's based on a point system. And so for me, I would not hate a point system at all. Then the problem becomes, how do we do the point system? And if you think back to the BCS, people hated how the computers were set up. And then you've got that issue. Does that make sense? Like, I love the idea of taking it out of the committee's hands, or a committee, or a subcommittee within conferences, and trying to figure out another way to do it. I love everything about the 14-team automatic qualifier model, except how do we keep the non-conference as important as humanly possible with that? Without having to go to subcommittees, which is why it's still in the back of my mind, although I want to boot it out. You got any ideas? I don't hate the point system, but then I remember the BCS. People hated the computer side of the BCS, if anybody remembers that. And I think we'd run into that with however the point system is set up. So people aren't going to like it.
I feel like with every new idea that keeps popping up, there is always something that we run into that's like, okay, well, this leads to that. Like with the point system, it kind of reverts back to that. Kind of like the way the BCS was. I don't know.
This is why. I don't know if people can understand. When I tell you, ever since I was about 7 or 8 years old, I started really understanding what was going on when my dad would just sit there and watch college football all day on Saturdays, and Nebraska football was a religion. Like, when I tell you what I could get away with Sunday through Friday was severely determined by what happened on Saturday, that's an understatement. Like, if Nebraska won, which happened most of the time, I could get away with quite a few things. If they lost, I was walking on already destroyed and broken eggshells. I wasn't walking on eggshells. They were already destroyed and broken. I knew I had to be good Sunday through Friday. All right. But around the age, I think it was 94. It was 94 when I kind of started, like, things started clicking for me. Maybe 90. No, I was 94. The first big game, I remember watching all these games with my dad, the Orange Bowls and Georgia Tech and the Citrus Bowl and Florida State 92 Orange Bowl. The first game I really remember intricate details of was 93. I was 9 years old, Nebraska playing Florida State. And then 94 is really the first time I was like, all right, I understand. I'm paying attention. And I'm like, why don't we have a better way of finding a national title? And it intrigued me to no end that Penn State was undefeated, Nebraska was undefeated. And if you looked at the strength of schedules, Nebraska deserved to be the champion, but Penn State deserved a chance to play us and lose. I'm just saying. And I'm like, why is there not a system set up this way? So ever since then, I've been enamored by trying to find a system that optimizes the regular season, some sort of a playoff, then conference championship games rolled around in 92, Alabama, Florida, SEC title game, then the Big 12 in 96. How do we optimize that? How do we do all of this and find an actual true national champion every year? So it's interesting to me because even last year with the playoff, I randomly came across this. Of course, it was posted by an Ohio State site, but if you look at it, it was still true. Ohio State's our national champions. As we know, didn't even win their rivalry game, didn't even win their conference championship, and finished fourth, for the love of all that's holy, in their own conference. But if you look at the final eight teams as they were ranked in the country, okay, this is from an Ohio State site. Ohio State beat all of these teams. Ohio State is the most deserving champion in the history of college football. Again, I am not saying that. I'm reading it directly. They've beaten every single team in the top eight of the final rankings except Georgia, and they did it with an average margin of victory of 15.5 points. Ryan Day rewrote the narrative, and he's a legend. So if you look at the final eight, they beat Oregon, number one at the time. All right, number two, Georgia. I'm sorry, not number two, Georgia. Number three, Texas. Number four, Penn State. Number five, Notre Dame. Number seven, Tennessee. Number eight, Indiana. And I'm just like, they did beat all those teams. Everyone in the top eight, except obviously themselves and Georgia. And I'm just like, oh, how do you deny that team?
No.
You want to know why? Because we have devalued the regular season and placed an emphasis on getting hot at the right time. And they maybe the hottest team in the history of college football at the most exact right time. They didn't just win. They blew teams off the field that were really good. The only team that made it interesting at all was Notre Dame. At all.
Yeah, that's fair.
After the Michigan game. Yet they finished fourth in the Big Ten. So it to me, it's like, yeah. Okay. They destroyed all these teams. Beat them soundly. But we have devalued the regular season. How do you do all these things? That's why it's always been so enamoring to me. When it comes to the non-conference games, my thought would be to heavily, heavily, heavily put emphasis on strength of schedule when it came to seeding once teams have qualified in. I just want to avoid extra committees as much as possible. All right, we'll play that Trey Taylor clip when we come back.